Follow along in your Bible. We will be back in Luke 1, starting in verse 57. Recounting again some of the things that led up to the first Christmas, the birth of our Savior. We'll pray for the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord and our God, as we open your book of life, I just pray that you send a special blessing upon us from these verses, Lord. A maturity that we haven't had before we came here this morning. An understanding of the depth of your love for us, recorded in your written word. I pray, O Lord, that I represent you properly in these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 1, starting in verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. You may be seated. Again, recorded in this book of Luke, these are the historical events that took place prior to our Savior's birth. You know, he gives us a detailed conception of his birth, of the birth of Jesus, and also of John. And all these scriptures are tied together, which all scripture is tied together. It's all tied together to what God has done to us, for us, because of his good pleasure. But all this is taking place to fulfill his plan for the salvation of mankind. And what we see in these verses, we see throughout the whole scripture. The 3 points we're going to be looking at, and just that flow through these verses, is he is the God of truth. He is the God of truth. His word is truth. He's a gracious God. Again, it's out of his good pleasure that he has done any of this. It's not that we earned it. And also the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. Nothing takes place out of God's hands. As we look through this book, these things will be revealed. It's God revealing himself to us, to his people, through the events when they occurred at that time, and to us through the written word. You know, we have to go forward a little bit to our Lord's death. Jesus tells us plainly, this is, I think, the plainest verse for truth, and we will be looking at a lot of scripture again during the Christmas holidays. I love just letting scripture flow through. And let it flow in and just absorb it. But John 18:37, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. God is truth. The very reason Jesus came was to bear witness to the truth concerning himself. And the scriptures bear witness to that. Let's look at a few passages just to reassure us what a God of truth he is. This is Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? For he has spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Whatever he says, he will fulfill. Whatever promise he says, he will fulfill. In our lives, in the prophecies, what we will look at today in John the Baptist's life. In Joshua 23:14, "And now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed." Again, all the promises that he passed through Moses to the people, they all came true. God kept his word. Isaiah 65:16, "So that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth. And he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and are hidden from my eyes." Again, truth, the God of truth. Our God is a God who can and must be trusted by his people. In John 17:16, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so you have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in the truth." Because our God is a God of truth, he passes that truth down to us, to his believers. It's one of his gifts. We recognize God's truth, all the truths in Scripture, because we are his people. And it is a blessing, a true blessing. You ever wonder why some people seem to be so blind about the things around them, about things in life? It's because they're not sanctified in the truth. They cannot understand the truth. They have scales over their eyes. It should make us appreciate our God even more, that he has revealed truth to us. You know, now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. You know, that's a simple statement in itself. However, we know from the other portions of Scripture, this is God fulfilling a promise, a prophecy concerning truth. That our God is the God of truth. You know, let's look at Luke 11. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before them in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Now, this was the prophecy. They hadn't heard from God in about 400 or 500 years. Then this angel comes saying the prophecies concerning John are about to be fulfilled. Zechariah would understand that. He was a student of the Scriptures. And then Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 43, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And in Malachi 33:1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Zechariah would understand these prophecies. He would understand that when his son John was born, it was a fulfillment of these prophecies. Because our God is truth, he kept his word. Our God would bring forth the Savior because he kept his word. Our God is the God of truth. At Zechariah's time, it was being played out. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins." Again, the God of truth was bringing forth his promises. And that leads to the point, the promises of grace. Unmerited favor for us. The God that is gracious, another one of his attributes. We'll look at a few supporting verses of that as well. 1 Peter 5:10. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Hebrews 4:14, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to him in time of need." You know, when we understand our God is a God of truth, his truth points us to his saving grace. You know, God does not give us what we deserve. He gives us what we do not deserve. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We deserve his eternal wrath, but because of his good pleasure in who he saves whom he pleases, we are given grace and we become his children because of his love. And by the way, he paid the penalty for it. The terrible death. So that we might have life. Zechariah speaks of this God who's coming, this God full of grace as he's full of the Holy Spirit and prophesies. And the father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, a people of hope and covenant to a transition. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Knowledge and salvation to his people. The time had come to get a deeper knowledge of the Messiah. The perfect sacrifice was about to arrive. The God of grace would soon be walking among his people. And the message John brought was repentance for the forgiveness of sins. God's grace to mankind. God's grace to you and I. For all of us who believe. Can you think of anything greater than that? Going from enemies of God to being friends with God? Co-workers with God? The God of grace having your backs in all times, receiving the full blessings of his grace. That is why we remember in this Advent season what God has done for us. It's a reminder of what a mighty God we serve, a gracious God. And in all the events we see in the scriptures, we see that God is in complete control. We see the hand of God, the sovereignty of God. In many places we see where God gives his commands to his people. And when we study the Old Testament, and when we study our lives, in our histories, many times we see people obeying God, his people obeying him. Many times we see them straying away from God, as it was at the time of our Lord's birth and John's birth. They strayed so far they would actually kill both of these men, claiming they're serving God when they did it. However, God at times intervenes miraculously. Even the wickedness of man will never thwart his sovereign will. God will have his way among men. Many times he will use wicked men. Many times he will use godly men. But we do know that in all circumstances, our God is sovereign. In this period of time in history, he brought forth his Son for the salvation of mankind. And it was miraculous. Miraculous events that played out in history. You know, there was the prophecies that John would be the herald, the forerunner. You know, Matthew affirms this. It says in Matthew 3, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Matthew understood it was fulfilled prophecy, the God of truth, keeping his word. We also see the fact that Elizabeth had a child. She was well past childbearing years. Yet that was foretold to Zechariah by an angel. They even told him what to name him. See, back then, names meant something. Names had meanings. Zechariah, which means God remembers his promise. Elizabeth means God is the absolute faithful one. John means God is gracious. And Jesus means Jehovah saves. The whole gracious purpose of God's will here on earth unfolded in names. It's what God has done to us. You know, there's other lessons we can see through these verses. But how much more do we need to have joy in our hearts, a deep joy that nobody can rob from us? A joy knowing that God's promises are for us, his people. That God's word is the essence of truth in all matters. He has transformed his people, including us, from death to life. And he will continue that until his church has reached the fullness, the completion. And again, it is because he's gracious. He sought us, he elected us. He transformed our hearts. He made you into a new creation. And he's working in us today to mature us in spite of our sinful nature, which we still struggle with. It is because he is the God of grace. He who started the good work in you will complete it. That's his promise. and it's because of his good pleasure. Because he is sovereign. He does what he wants to do. No one can say to him, "What have you done?" He answers to no one. You're here because of the love he showed you while you were yet sinners. Is there anything greater than that? Grace is in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He's placed you here at this period of time to advance his church, to give you the privilege of serving him. You know, what were the results of God showing his grace to John? It says, then what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was on him. We saw what he was. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He introduced Jesus to the world. What is the result of God showing his sovereign grace to you? What then will this saved child be? For the Lord, the hand of the Lord is on you as well. He wants us to draw close to him. Close to him with our faith. He wants us to strive to mature our faith. To see where we fit in this mighty work here on earth called his church. Where we fulfill our part. And we do it out of graciousness, or our thankfulness for his grace. But rest assured, he is sovereignly working in his church today. He is sovereignly working in his saints today. He is preparing saints for mighty works. He is preparing you for works that you may not even imagine what you could do. Do you acknowledge the supernatural work going on in your life? That God may have something for you 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line that you never thought you would do, never dreamed you would do, yet you're doing it? I can speak from experience. I never thought I'd be preaching. Never wanted to. Terrified me. But God is working in the hearts of those around you to encourage you in what you are called to do, even if you don't recognize it. That preparation for the future use for his body is continually going on. It all starts with the salvation. That's the catalyst. That's what gets us going. A new creation. But God is bringing about changes in his saints' lives. A maturity each time they are faithful, coming to church, listening to his word, studying his word, then acting to do his word. It takes you out of your comfort zone and brings you to a different comfort zone. A comfort zone of a relation to a God who loves you and gives you the privilege of being used by him to advance his kingdom. And as we go into this season, rest assured that our God is the God of truth, the God of grace and the God of fulfilled promises. He tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Our hope is in Him and what He will do through us for His church to advance His kingdom. Plans for welfare and not for evil. That's for those who are faithful. Yeah, it may be difficult. But with God on our side, how can we lose? We see all the fulfilled prophecies. The truth of Him sending His Son to die for us while we're yet sinners. And His blessings still continue. His hand is still here. He is sovereign. And He will advance this church when and where He wants to. And nothing on this side of Himself will change it. He is sovereign. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, as we study the verses concerning Your initial entrance into this realm, the human realm, we see how much You loved us. We also see how in control You are. Give us that assurance, Lord, that You are advancing us to advance Your kingdom here on earth at this time in history. No accidents, no mistakes. We are part of Your church because You have willed it. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the courage to fulfill our task that You would have us to do with a gracious heart because of what You have done for us, what You have done to us, saving us and transforming us into a new creation. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.